Exodus chapter 14, we are looking at a new series called When God Butts In. We're looking at the But God moments in the Bible, and we've said how important it is to recognize those But God moments in our lives. We've so far looked at the fact that we were dead, but God. The Bible says I was dead in trespasses and sins, but God, rich in his mercy, provided a sacrifice through the Lord Jesus Christ. I was dead in trespasses and sins, but God. I was dead, but God made me alive. I was deceived. We saw how Jacob was deceived by Laban, and we saw how his wages were changed 10 times, and how he was in such a predicament, but God. God didn't allow that to hurt Jacob in a way that wasn't used by God. God had Jacob in the right place at the right time. We saw then last week, I was betrayed, but God. Joseph was betrayed by his brothers. And at the end, when Joseph's brothers come to Joseph after Jacob has died, after their father has died, and they said, look, you know, Dad didn't want you taking revenge on us. And Joseph said, boys, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And we saw all the way through Joseph's life, you know, he was thrown in a pit, but God wanted him to go to the Ishmaelites. He went to the Ishmaelites, but God wanted him in Egypt. He went to Egypt, but God wanted him in the prison. He went to the prison, but God wanted him as second in command of Egypt. And we saw through all of that in his life that God had Joseph at the right place at the right time. And the question I want to ask tonight is, have you ever felt trapped? Have you ever, let me ask this question. Have you ever been trapped physically? How many have ever, I know there's one person here that definitely has. Anybody here ever been stuck in a lift? Okay, so Andy Lane. So there's a few people. Well, I don't know what's worse, the fact that Andy Lane was stuck in the lift, or when she phoned Brother Andrew, he said, oh yeah, I'll be over when I finish my food. No, he didn't really say that. He said, I won't be over at all. You know, sometimes when, and I don't know if you've ever been, trapped in a lift. When we went on holidays to Switzerland, and I think I was about 11, 12, something like that, and we went up on a cable car, and I can't remember the name of the mountain, but this cable car. Le Diable, that doesn't sound good, that sounds like the devil. They are brilliant. No wonder we got stuck. So we're going up towards this mountain on the cable car, and it's a lovely, clear, sunny day. We get up at this mountain. It's great, lovely, fresh air, really high, wonderful day. All of a sudden, the clouds come in, start snowing, and they try and get us off the mountain as quick as possible. So they put us up on this cable car. The cable car goes halfway across this ravine and stops. Yeah, that's what I said. Oh, so I can't remember how long we were there for, but there's this panic. You start thinking, what if the wind swings this cable car, and I, you know, as a younger child, you're just looking up and you see these wheels on a cable, and you think, I don't need to do that. That's a long way down. So you start thinking, I'm in trouble here. This could be the end of it. Then you start thinking, how long can we last without food? You know, if we're going to be up here a long time, you know, which one do we go for first? Because it's the survival of the fittest, you know. We got to eat, we got to survive. But you think, I'm going to run out of food. And eventually, after what felt like hours, they actually winched us down by hand. But for that moment, it was scary. And you thought, this is a bit frightening. Sometimes, spiritually, we can feel trapped. We can feel like we come to a point where we really can't see a way out. We come to a point where we think, I really don't know what to do in this situation. Whether there's a decision to be made, you know, whether there's a choice to make, you know, whether something has to be done and we don't really know what to do or how to do it, and we don't feel like the Lord is answering our prayers. We don't feel like we're getting the answer we need from the Scripture. And sometimes we just feel trapped. And then what we start doing is exactly what we do when we're trapped in a physical sense. We start thinking of all of these different scenarios. What if this happens? What if that happens? What if the other happens? And when we can come to this point in our spiritual lives where we feel trapped, we start second-guessing God. Why am I here? Have I done something? Did I come? Did I take a wrong turn? Did I make a wrong choice? Did I not listen to that scripture? Did I not pray right? Did I miss God's will? Sometimes we feel trapped, but God. Exodus chapter 14 and verse 10. It says, "And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were so afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they should go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his hosts, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen." And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud of darkness to them. But it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them into the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. It came to pass at the morning watch that the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, and they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon the dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this day and for this time together tonight. Father, we recognize that there's many times in our lives that we do indeed feel trapped. Maybe there's somebody here tonight, Lord, that is in that situation. Maybe in life, maybe in work, maybe in a relationship, whatever it may be. Maybe they feel like there is absolutely no way out, no help and no hope whatsoever. Father, I pray that you would help them to recognize the but God moments. Father, I pray that you would help them to realize that there is hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I just pray that today they would see that you were in control, that they might see a light at the end of the tunnel, as it were. Right now, it might feel like there's a sea in front of them that they simply can't pass, and there's an army bearing down behind them, and there's just no way out. And sometimes, Lord, we feel trapped. But God has a plan. But God has a purpose. But God has still promised to never leave us and never forsake us. Father, I pray that you'd help us to see the but God moments in those times of our lives where we feel so helpless and hopeless. And Father, I pray that there will be a victory wrought here today. because we've recognized that but God moment. We pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So I want us to look tonight at the fact that sometimes we are trapped but God. Now, for the eagle-eyed among you may be saying, I ain't seen no but God moment there. We understand that Israel has come to a point where they've got the Red Sea in front of them and they've got Pharaoh's army behind them. There is nowhere to go. They have come into this area where they are surrounded by mountains. They can't go to the left. They can't go to the right. They can't go behind and they can't go forward. They are trapped. So how did they get there? Where did they go to take that wrong move? How could they have been so foolish to get themselves into that predicament? They're fleeing from Pharaoh, so why did they go down that blind alley? You ever seen that in a movie? There's somebody running away from the police or something, and you know, there's somebody's robbed a bank or somebody's done something, and they're running from the police and they're being chased normally in New York or a city or something like that, and they turn down this alleyway and there's a fence in front of them. And you think to yourself, what do you go down there for? How daft. You know, I think we would be experts, each and every one of us, at running from the police. Because every time we see a film like that, we're like, why didn't you just do that? Why didn't you just hide over there? Wait for them to run past you and turn around and run in the other direction. We're experts. And we say, well, why do they do that? That was that. Surely they could see that that was a dead end. And we might come to this passage of Scripture and think, why did Israel do that? Why did they go down that direction? Why did they go down that blind alley? Why did they go to that dead end? Let's go back a chapter, to chapter 13. And let's read two verses, verse 17 and 18. It says, and it came to pass, when Pharaoh let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near, for God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. It was God that led them to the Red Sea. It was God that led them down a seemingly blind alley. It was God that brought them to this position so that the Red Sea was in front of them, so that there was a mountain on either side of them, and Pharaoh's army was behind them. They were trapped. But God led them there. But God brought them there. And maybe you were at a point in your life where you feel like, I'm just trapped, and I don't know what to do. You need to look for the but God moment. What is it that God wants me to do in this situation? What is it that God wants me to see in this situation? What is it that God wants me to learn in this situation? I feel trapped, but God. Sometimes the desperate situations in our lives where we feel like we've been painted into a corner, where we feel like there's no way out. And I remember going to my first baseball match. I'd always heard people say, oh, life has thrown me a curveball. And I used to think, what on earth does that mean? And I remember going to my first baseball match. And I'd gone to see the Detroit Tigers play a team from New York. And I can't remember if it was the Yankees. I think it was the Yankees, but I can't remember. So it was that good. It was that good a game. And I remember looking at the guy on the mound, the pitcher, and like he's throwing these balls. And sometimes these balls are going almost 100 miles an hour. It's an incredible speed, and it's not that great a distance, you know, that he's throwing this ball to this guy with the bat. And all of a sudden, instead of just throwing a fastball, they throw this curveball where it starts coming towards you, and it goes out, or it starts out, and then it comes towards you. It just changes direction. And I understood then, that's what it means to be thrown a curveball. Because you think you've got it all sorted out. You think you've got life going in the right direction. You think everything is lined up. And then all of a sudden, something changes direction. You know, maybe that's a financial issue. Maybe it's a family issue. Maybe it's a health issue. Maybe it's a faith issue. Maybe it's a hope issue. Maybe it's a victory issue. Maybe it's a strength issue. But we just feel trapped. We don't feel like God is hearing us. We don't feel like God's answering us. We don't feel like we're getting anything from the Word, and we just feel stuck. We feel exactly like the children of Israel, standing there before the Red Sea in front of us and with Pharaoh's army bearing down behind us. It's a desperate situation. There's nowhere to turn. But God brought them there. But God led them to that situation. But God brought them to that exact point. It wasn't an accident. And there are times in our lives when we, like the children of Israel, face that exact same issue, a Red Sea crossing. Do we realize and recognize it's a but God moment? But God. But God has led us here. So what do? How do we get out? How do we move when we can't seem to go in any direction? Recognize the but God moment. I'm trapped, but God let me here, so don't look back. You know, the one thing that we tend to do when we get to this situation is start looking behind us, as it were. When Moses and God's people arrive at the shores of the Red Sea, they see the Egyptians coming up behind them, and they realize they're trapped. They don't turn to God and say, right, Lord, what's the purpose in this? Right, Lord, what can we learn from this? Right, Lord, you've got us here for a purpose, because you are the one that led us here by the pillar of cloud and fire. You are the one that's brought us to this point. So there must be a reason that we're here. But they don't do that. They don't say, right, why has this happened? Why am I here, Lord? What is the purpose in this, and what are you trying to teach me? Yeah, they were afraid. That's the first thing that comes to them. They were afraid. And I think as Christians, we sometimes feel like we're not allowed to be afraid. Oh, well, God's not given us the spirit of fear. There's plenty of times in my life where I've been afraid. I've been in the car with my dad. I've been afraid. I've been very close to the Lord because my prayer life really improved very quickly. There are times in our lives where we're afraid. Oh, yeah, but, you know, the Christian shouldn't be afraid because the Bible says that God's not given us the spirit of fear. We're human. We said that this morning. There are times when we're anxious. There are times when we're fearful. There are times when we are hurt, upset, weak, where we feel alone, where we feel literally like, I'm just not cut out for this walk. And that's natural. The children of Israel were afraid. But instead of looking to God, you know, they kind of do the opposite. When, in verse 10 says, when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes and beheld the Egyptians marched after them. And they were so afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And you think, great, they've done the right thing. They've cried out unto the Lord. And that is the first thing that we ought to do, is to cry out unto the Lord. But the problem is, they weren't crying out unto the Lord to say, oh Lord, what are you teaching us? What do you want us to do? What do you want us to learn? They said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt us with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. The children of Israel had become accustomed to slavery. That's what they were used to. You know, and sometimes perhaps we look back at our old life. You know, we've become a Christian, and we really expected that everything would be plain sailing. We really expected that when we become a Christian, everything would fall into place. Every duck would be lined up. It would be a bed of roses. It would be perfect. You know, we got baptized. We gave our testimony. We made a profession of faith in the Lord publicly, and right, we're ready to go on. And then we thought everything would just be smooth. It doesn't work like that. Yeah, it's a straight and narrow path, but sometimes, man, it's a rocky road. It's a bumpy road. Sometimes the Christian life is tough. Battle after battle after. Have you ever been in that situation where you've fought one battle and you've thought, oh, great, I got the victory there, and then just 2 minutes later, bang, there's another battle. And then there's another one, and then there's another one. You just finish that battle, and you head into a valley, and you just get out of that valley, and then you face another battle, and as you finish that battle, you head into another valley. You think, what is going on? But the temptation is to look back and think, life was easier before I became a Christian. Let me tell you something. Before I became a Christian, I never had anybody in the workplace that did me as wrong as Christians have done me wrong. And I'm sure each and every one of us can say, yeah, I can testify to that. I've had some Christians who do the real dirty on me. You know, and that can cause us to look back then and say, well, surely I'd have been better off in my old life. And that's what Egypt would do, what Israel was doing. They say, well, it was easier in Egypt. At least we had stability. Yeah, but you were in slavery. Yeah, but at least we knew where we were. Yeah, you were stuck. You were oppressed. You know, sometimes we can get to a position in our lives where we feel so trapped that we got a temptation to go back to the old life. Let me tell you something. It is far better to trust the Lord in the wilderness than to go back into the world and make your bed with the devil. But sometimes we have a tendency to look back at our old life when we come to the Red Sea, where we feel like giving up and going back to our old life, going back to how things used to be. And there's nothing wrong with memories. You know, there's nothing wrong with looking back and seeing where you've come from. But when we start looking back and start longing for that old lifestyle, we need to realize that God has brought us here for a moment. You might feel trapped, but God has brought you here not to look back. God doesn't want us to look back at our old life. Look what happened to Lot's wife. I'm not a big fan of salt. I don't necessarily want to become a pillar of salt. But look at what happened. She had such a longing for the life that was being destroyed back in Sodom. She had a longing for the place, not realizing that God wanted to bless them for something better. We concentrate on how things used to be. You know, and it's easy to do that in the church. You know, maybe we feel trapped as a church in general that there's no revival at the moment. And, you know, we're not seeing the crowds coming to know Christ as their Savior. And we're not seeing the churches jam-packed like they should be. And maybe we feel like the church is trapped at the moment. And there's a tendency to look back and think, oh, how things used to be. And what we used to do. And what used to happen. We can't alter the past. The past is the past. It's gone. All we can do is look to the Lord and move on. He's brought us here for a purpose. We won't move forward looking at our old life. God has constantly proved himself to us in this journey. You know, and if we were honest, we would say, yeah, do you know, sometimes the Christian life is tough. But when we look at our life and where God has brought us from and where he's brought us to now, the things that you are going through right now, if that had happened to you early on in your walk, you would have struggled a lot more back then. But that's how far God has brought you. That's how much you've grown as a believer. That's how far you've come in your walk with the Lord. And the Lord constantly proves himself to us day after day after day. You know, when you look at Israel, you see what they came through, what they went through, how the Lord had brought them through those plagues that he brought upon Egypt, and how he brought them out of bondage. They'd been stuck in Egypt for 400 years, and God has brought them out because of the plagues he brought down upon the Egyptians and the Egyptian gods, and he brought them out of Egypt, proving himself to Israel over and over and over again. But they would much rather settle for a life of despondency back in Egypt than all of the blessings and victories that God has in store for them, even in the wilderness. A life with God in the wilderness was far better than a life without God back in Egypt. It amazes me when things go wrong in a Christian's life, the first thing they do is go back. It'll blow your mind. how many pastors have left the ministry and are now back completely and utterly in the world. It blow your mind. The amount of Christians that leave church in their droves and go back to their old life because of something that's happened to them. God brought the children of Israel out of bondage. He didn't bring them there for them to look back. He didn't bring them there to think, oh, things were better back in Egypt. This is a but God moment. God is the one that led them to this place. They were trapped, but God didn't bring them there to look back. I'm trapped, but God led me here, so don't look within. Sometimes we think, ah, right, how can I fix this problem? What can I do about this? In verse 13 it says, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye see today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. How many of you remember Dad's army? Who am I going to mention? We used to shout, Captain Mannerin, don't panic, Captain Mannerin, don't panic, Captain Mannerin. Was it Corporal Jones? Sometimes as Christians, we're like Corporal Jones. You know, in saying, don't panic, Captain Mannerin, don't panic, Captain Mannerin, he was panicking. You know, and we do that. Have you ever had that with, maybe with a child or something? You know, when the girls were little, if they injured themselves, I was like a wreck. And you're literally running around. You know, it was when we were kids, there was none of that. Mum was a nurse. There wasn't even any sympathy. And for all of you who have ever had parents as nurses or who are nurses, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, there's blood gushing from everywhere. Mary, there, stick a plaster on it. But when that happened to my kids, I was like, what do I need to do? You panic. I don't want to see them hurt. And sometimes we're like that in our walk. We get to a point where we feel trapped. And we're like, right, what do I need to do? I feel like I need to be doing something. And in the end, we just kind of panic and we end up doing loads, but actually achieving absolutely nothing. We run around like headless chickens. And it's because of fear. Now, sometimes fear can stop us in our tracks. Sometimes fear can just cause us to run around in panic. Israel is stuck, and fear has gripped them. May they look within. How can we fight? You know, we've not got any arms. We've not got the people who are trained for this. You know, we've been laying bricks for the last however many years. We're not ready to do this. But God. God brought them there not to show them how weak Israel were. God brought them there to show them how powerful he was. You know, there's sometimes in our life where God has really got to knock us down a peg or two. Because we think we're the bee's knees. We think we are the be-all and end-all. We are super saints. We got it all together. Yeah, I could do that. You know, I could. If that happened to me, you know, I could do that. If that problem came in my life, this is what I would do. And I could do that. And sometimes the Lord says, okay, here you go. There's the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army's behind you. What do you do? And we cave. We collapse. Because we don't have the strength. We don't have what is needed to do things on our own. And sometimes the Lord just takes the strength completely from us, takes our legs completely from underneath us so he can bring us to our knees. So he can say, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Don't fear. Don't run around like a headless chicken. I brought you here for a purpose. I'm the one that led you here. I'm trapped. But God, Israel didn't believe that God could bring them out of this. In spite of all that he'd done to them, in spite of the plagues that he cast upon the Egyptians, they didn't believe that God would see them through. In spite of all that God has done for us in the past, we still doubt God. We still doubt that God can give us the strength to go another step. We still doubt God can give us the strength to keep going in this walk. We still doubt that God can take care of our needs when we feel at the end of our tether. And we doubt God continually in spite of all that he's done for us, in spite of all the dangers he's brought us through. And instead of looking within at our own strength, we need to recognize that even the little faith that God has given us is enough to move mountains. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God doesn't want us to fix the issue that we find ourselves in. He hasn't brought us to this point so that we can fix it, so that we can get out of it, so that we can make a path, as it were. We've got to learn to trust God, not to rely upon our own strength. It's only when we look to our faith will we be able to stand still. You know what we're like when we're panicking. Have any of you ever been to a hospital, to a casualty? Casualty, what a nightmare. What a place to go. You know, I'm useless. I can't just sit there when, you know, whether it's Joe or our parents or whoever's in casualty, you can't just sit there, you know, next to them. I'm like pacing up and down, pacing back and forth the corridor, going outside and then going to the vending machine. And then, do you want a coffee? Do you want something? You just feel like you've got to be doing something just to take your mind off things. And we're like that when it comes to those times in our lives where we feel trapped. But God says, stop. Stop. Stop trying to work it out. Stop trying to fix the problem. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord and trust me. And we have a choice. We can either allow fear to dominate us, or we can let not our hearts be troubled. The people of God come to a place here in the Red Sea where they had to make a choice. Either give up and go back to their old life of slavery, or trust and obey God and go forward across the Red Sea. And we have the same choice today. We can either give up or give it to God. And that's your choice. Give up or give it to God. We have to be able to stand by faith before we can walk by faith. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. With waiting comes renewed faith. With waiting comes renewed strength. With waiting comes renewed zeal. When we look to our faith and depend upon the Lord, we can trust in him. Not in our own strength. We're not strong enough. We can't do this on our own. We haven't got the strength to do this on our own. We haven't. But he has. And sometimes he needs to bring us to a position where we can just stop and stand still so that God can say, right now, I can work through you. Now I can show you what I can do. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. I'm trapped. But God has led me here. So don't look back to your old life. I'm trapped, but God has led me here. So don't look within to your own strength. I'm trapped, but God led me here. So look to him at all times. In verse 15, the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. Lift up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. We've got to look to him. Always. Because if we look to others, others will always let us down. If we look at ourselves, we're just weak. But if we look to him, the author and finisher of our faith, that's where our strength comes from. That's where our hope comes from. That's where our help comes from. You look at David. David couldn't stand before Goliath in his own strength. But he looked to him. How dare you defy the armies of the living God? How dare you blaspheme God's name? David didn't come in his own strength. David didn't come in Saul's armor. David came in the power of God and God alone. The three Hebrew boys, they didn't fail or refuse to bow before Nebuchadnezzar's image in their own strength. They were able to go into the fire because of who God was. I always love the fact that Nebuchadnezzar threw those three Hebrew boys in the fire bound, hand and foot. And yet the scripture says when Nebuchadnezzar looked in the fire, he saw four men loosed. And the fourth man looked like the Son of God. They were bound when they went into the fire. That which was meant to destroy them actually set them free. And God was there with them. In the fire. Look to him. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Maybe God has brought us to this particular point in our lives for a purpose. So that we stop looking back at our old life. So we stop looking at our own strength and we start looking to him. Here's the thing. We can't do this life on our own. We can't. We can't get through this pandemic on our own. We can't. We can't face tomorrow on our own. We just can't do it in our own strength. But we look to him. He's the one that gives us the strength. He's the one that helps us to go forward. We say it's impossible, but God says all things are possible. We say, well, I'm too tired, but God says, I'll give you rest. We say, nobody loves me, but God says, I love you. We say, nobody cares, but God says, I care. We say, I can't go on, but God says, my grace is sufficient. We say, I can't figure this out, but God says, I'll direct your paths. We say, I can't do it, but God says, you can do all things. We say, I'm unable, but God says, I am able. We say, I'm not worth it, but God says, it will be worth it all. We say, I can't forgive myself, but God says, I forgive you. We say, I can't afford to do this, but God says, I'll supply all your needs. We can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. And maybe you are here tonight and you think, you know what, I just can't do this. I can't take another step. I can't go forward. I feel trapped. I feel alone. I feel afraid. And I just don't feel like that this is for me. I want to go back to that old life. I don't want to do this anymore because things were far easier back then. But God has brought us this far. But God has brought us here for a reason. But God has brought us here for a purpose. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Let's lay aside every sin, that weight and that sin that so does easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, and let's just simply move forward. It tickles me when, Moses says to people, oh, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And it's as if Moses says, see God, I told them. And then God says, Moses, what are you doing? Just standing there. Stick your rod out and go forward. Sometimes we feel so trapped and we feel like there's no way out, but guess what? There's always a way forward with the Lord. And we might not see it because there's a Red Sea right in front of us. It's so deep, it's impassable. But God can move mountains. But God can take that grain of mustard seed sized faith that you have and he can make things happen that we would never, ever dream of possible because of him. But God has brought us here for a reason. We might feel trapped, but God has brought us here to not look back to our own life. We feel trapped, but God has brought us here not to rely upon our own strength, because we can't do it. We feel trapped, but God has brought us here to look to him, and to trust him, and to just simply follow him, and to obey him, and to move forward when he tells us to go. I never understand why animals when you come up in the night in the car, just stand there looking at your headlights. You think, why don't they move? You know, it's like that little hedgehog. He was told, whenever you see those two lights, he said, all you need to do is just line yourself up right in the middle of them and just tuck yourself up into a little ball right in the middle of the headlights. Great. The first thing, the first time he ever saw those two headlights, he did. He lined himself up in between the two headlights, tucked himself up into a little ball and said, great. Poor thing got run over by a Reliant Robin. It's a three-wheel car with wheels in the front. I don't even know where I was going with that. There was a point, I think, at one time, but then something else came into my head. But we do. Sometimes we just stop in the headlights, feeling like we're trapped. And the Lord says, there's no need. Move forward. Just look to Him. He has not brought you this far in your walk with the Lord to suddenly abandon you. To turn around now and say, right, you're on your own. Do you know what? The most frightening thing that ever happened to me in my Christian walk was when the Lord said, I want you to preach. What? I can't do that. I remember Dave Bennett was preaching in the pulpit, and I remember it was a men's meeting, and Dave Bennett was preaching, and I remember sitting in about that area there in Bethany Baptist Church in Tennessee, and I remember saying, phew, I'd never do that. I was petrifying. You know, it'd have been easy to turn around and say, nah, I'm not doing that. Maybe you're sat here thinking, we wish you'd said that. Well, I'm not doing that. Lord, you got the wrong person. There's no way in this world I wanted to ever do that. Never had the desire to do it. Never had the strength to do it. But God. Listen, if God has asked you to do something, let me tell you this now. Pastor Ed always used to say, if God's called you to do it, God will give you what you need to get through it. God has brought you somewhere, no matter how difficult it might be right now. You might feel trapped, but God. Maybe you feel there is no hope, but God, He'll make a way. Maybe you feel like there is no way forward, but God will part the Red Sea. Maybe you feel the situation you're in right now is impossible, but God says all things are possible. I don't know where you are right now. I don't know where you are in your walk with the Lord. I don't know where you are in terms of what you are facing. But maybe you feel trapped. Maybe tonight you feel fearful, afraid, anxious. Maybe you feel like your strength is gone. Maybe you feel like I just can't take another step. Maybe you feel like I can't go forward. But God has brought you thus far. But God has brought you here for a purpose. But God won't leave you stuck between the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army. But God will make a way even when there seems to be no way. Sometimes we feel trapped. But God brought them there for a purpose. And if God had never brought them there, we would never have had the account of God parting the Red Sea and bringing Israel through on dry ground. Maybe God wants to part you a Red Sea tonight so that you can testify to those around you how incredible God is in our lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this time together tonight and for the opportunity to come around your word. Lord, maybe there's somebody here tonight who is in that exact position, stuck between Pharaoh and the deep Red Sea. Father, I pray that you would just help them tonight to recognize the fact that it's not their past that's going to help them. It's not looking back to their old life. It's not looking within to their own strength. It's only looking at that they're ever going to find help. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And Father, I pray that each and every one here tonight would recognize that God moment. That moment when they feel trapped, alone, afraid, frightened, petrified, but God. But God has promised to bring us through. But God has promised to never leave us and never forsake us. But God has promised to give us the strength that we need. But God. So Father, I pray that you'd help each and everyone here tonight who is struggling, whatever it is in their lives. You know what they need. You know what the answer is. And I pray that they would recognize that, that God moment tonight. And they would simply seek you for all the help they need. And that they would receive the victory tonight. We pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. We stand and sing our next hymn together. We are anchored in Jesus. Amen. Brother Andrew, close us in a word of prayer. Thanks, Brother Andrew.
Father, we thank you for those lovely words. For thy silent prophet has said, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee, and said, trust thee in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is the rock of ages. Father, we do thank you that in the Lord Jesus we have an anchor of the soul, Christ himself, that entereth into within the veil, with our forerunner, there is entered on our behalf, even Jesus, made a high priest of the order of Melchizedek. We thank you, Father, when we may be at our low parts, the Lord says to us what he said to Peter, I have prayed for thee, but thy faith fail not. And then thou turn again, when you are stronger, strengthen your brethren. We do pray, Father, this message is spoken to someone who feels trapped by not look downward or forward or backward, but they may look up to where the cloud was and the glory of God rests, and that they might put their trust in Him. We thank You, there is no trial that has befallen anyone, by which the apostle Paul to say, the Lord God is faithful, who will, with the trial, make a way through, that He also may be able to endure it. Thank You, Father, for blessing Pastor Drew to our hearts. May He continue to speak to us through the week ahead. Give us that continued sense of Your presence as we fellowship downstairs, and help us realize that You are the unseen guest at every meal, even a cup of tea, a silent listener, where the conversation. So bless